Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Super Bowl, baby! Super Bowl! Welcome to the call. Can you believe it? It was such an unbelievable feeling this past week, and finally we can talk about it. It's big. Here we go. The Ravens going to New Orleans to the Super Bowl. Of course, I can't be all excited all by myself on the phone with me right now. We got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? Can you believe this?
Woo! This is surreal, isn't it?
Hey, this is such a great feeling. We've been doing the call now for one season. We've covered the preseason. We've covered the regular season. We've covered the postseason. Now, here we go. We're covering the Super Bowl. Unbelievable feeling. We've done the whole stretch here, and this is pretty amazing stuff.
How else can we cap our first year? I mean, with a title.
I think these guys did it just for us. They knew that we were coming out here and wanted to make a big splash in Baltimore.
That's right.
So welcome to the call. What an amazing feeling. We're going to talk about the AFC Championship game today, the Ravens against the Patriots. I want to start off by saying last week, if you listened to that episode, I said this game was going to come down to one mistake. It was going to come down to, like it always does, a field goal. Justin Tucker was going to come out, and he wasn't going to cundiff. You know, like it was last year, he was gonna get the field goal, and we were gonna go to the Super Bowl. Different than what we were imagining. The second half, the Patriots, I think they never left the locker room. They went in at halftime and said, "All right, we're done for the day." Were you kind of shocked at the play of the Patriots this game?
It was kind of surreal because it's usually what the Ravens do. It's like they show for half and it's like, where the heck did they go in the second half? And we've said that many times, a couple times this year, if not more than often than not, and it's happened in the past. And I don't know if the Patriots didn't show up, but the Ravens just said enough is enough. They had, I think, one catch by their receivers in the first half. Torrey Smith maybe logged one or two catches. Ray Reyes couldn't get the ball going. We luckily, there's some mismanagement on their end because they played sort of sloppy. They mismanaged the clock to the end of the first half. It was only a six-point game. I sat there at halftime. I wasn't really mad, but I was kind of concerned because I'm just like, you know, we're down six. I mean, we get the ball back in the second half, but you know, you got to go down and score a touchdown, come out of the gate firing away, and you got to stomp them, and it's Tom Brady. But I felt good. It was close. It could have been a lot worse, and you're right. I was kind of shocked to see that, you know, where did the Patriots go? Or credit the Ravens, because they just said, enough's enough, and we're going to own this game. Whatever said at halftime, I wish I was flying a wall in that room.
It was so strange, and I'm not complaining in any way. I'm so happy that the Ravens came out on top, but at halftime, I'm like, all right, there's still plenty of game to play. It's a close game. You know, the Patriots, they can come back, and the Ravens can stand tall. We don't know what's going to happen. And halfway through the fourth quarter, the people around me, I was down at the Green Turtle on McHenry Row, they started celebrating already, and they were saying, you know, Harbaugh Bowl and chanting and doing the Seven Nation Army chant. I'm like, look, this is the Patriots. Do not think that we're done yet. Do not think that we're done yet. And it came down to the Kerry Williams interception where I'm like, okay, now we can celebrate. And once that happened, I got up and I stood on top of the bench because we were in a booth, and I just screamed best in the world, and people started cheering and stuff like that. So it was a great feeling, but I don't know what happened to the Patriots. It came down, you know, there were a couple plays. Wes Welker dropping that pass from Tom Brady. Brady, he didn't get the time that he normally got in the pocket during the second half. You could definitely see that the defense was getting to him. And I think that might have been a factor. I don't know, but the Patriots, I think overall, or even more importantly, they didn't have something to prove like the Ravens did. After last year and what happened, the Ravens were like, we were this close. We were one game away to the Super Bowl last year. We should have been there, but it was one mistake, and we fixed that mistake, and we brought in this guy, Justin Tucker, and we got something to prove here. We are not going to just sit by and let these guys win again by that small of a margin. We're going to go out there, and we're going to play our hardest. And they did, and now they're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, just keep saying that. We are in the Super Bowl. It's just has that resounding taste, doesn't it? You just hold on to it and just rinse Super Bowl. It's just unreal. I'm just going to keep saying that all the show because still, after a couple of days after the game, almost a week after the game, I'm still trying to take it all in. And breaking down the game, just credit the Ravens. You're right. They kind of had the chip on the shoulder going in and be like, look, last year we had them by the roots. We outplayed them and they knew it. They just, I wouldn't say got lucky, drop past, or if Lee Evans adjusts, you know, we can talk about that catch forever, but fall is forgotten because we're in the Super Bowl this year. And Billy Cundiff makes an easy field goal. We go in overtime. Who knows what happens in overtime? But anyway, the Ravens were saying enough's enough, and we knew, the Ravens knew that this team was beatable. We as fans knew this team was beatable. We were like, hey, we beat them in week three. We just beat Peyton. Granted, it took obviously it was a miracle of a play, but the play happened. Same thing with, hey, diddle-diddle, Ray Rice up the middle. That play happened. These plays happen. Sometimes things happen in football games, or we don't explain them. You know, if there's in the Broncos game, the coverages are good. We're not talking any this week or last week because we lose. So, but besides that, it happened. And you got to credit the Ravens at some point because they just said, really, enough is enough. We're going to shut Brady down. They looked at their offense, and I think they were laying wood. And when it comes down to it, I'm going to say this time and time again. Defense wins championships. Ray Lewis can say that himself. He said it all the time. And more all times than not, the more physical team wins. Look what happened. The Ravens were basically pounding them in the turf. The receivers were falling down, but the Ravens were still like, you know what, we're going to hit you. They were saying, they were letting them know they were there. Brady was finally getting hit a little bit. He had a couple good licks, and it kind of threw his timing off. Yes, Gronkowski going down was big. But how about Bernard Pollard, crushed the boy himself, just laying in the wood in the secondary? This is what the Ravens are about. Bolden on offense, being physical. You know, Pollard and Reed and everybody else on defense, we are physical. The Ravens play very physical football, and it shows. In 2000, they were drubbed as the Baltimore Bullies and the Dirty Birds because they were hard-hitting, you know, bloody-nosed defense where we're the rough-and-tumble boys. You don't want to be in the dark alley because we're going to beat you in the pulp. And that's what the Ravens showed. They said, you know what, enough with finesse. You know, with a hit on Stephen Ridley, he got knocked in, and Lord knows what week he's in.
Oh, my God.
He'd still think it's probably the year 2000 all over again.
God, that hit scared the crap out of me because I saw him just go limp as he's falling to the ground.
It scared me, too. Yeah. It did.
Yeah, and no, I mean, he was not a Raven, but still, he's a football player, and you get scared when you see those kind of hits because he just went limp. It looked like he could have gotten a stinger or a concussion or something like that, and you never want to see somebody get hurt like that. But, man, that hit just – it took your breath away. Even if you – no matter what team you were rooting for, you saw that hit, and you were just going, oh, and just kind of like looking away from the screen.
But you have to be weary. Were you looking for a flag on that play? Because I sure was.
Yeah, absolutely I was. The way that they're trying to go after, you know, making sure there aren't any concussions and making sure there are no helmet-to-helmet hits, I mean, I was really thinking that Pollard was either going to get a flag or he was just going to get ejected from the game. Like, I was scared something like that was going to happen. But looking at replays, I'm not putting the complete blame on him. It looked like Riley ducked his head and went for helmet to helmet. So I don't know, looking at it now, who you really could have blamed for that.
You know what? You can sit there and blame whoever. And it's football. This is why they wear helmets. They didn't wear helmets. They crack skulls. I mean, enough's enough. I mean, I'm not going to go on tangent and really get off of our high here and talk about the science of the NFL and the evilness. I mean, this is why you wear equipment. You know, this is why NASCAR drivers have their things and their devices and their helmets. This is why, you know, baseball players wear elbow pads and batting helmets. This is why catchers and hockey goalies wear their equipment because they don't get hit in the face. If not, then let's just take the equipment off and play, you know, with just clothes on, right?
Right.
Enough. That's what it comes down to is the Ravens were enough. And just how about, not even the defense, but look, how about Joe Flacco just saying, you know what, I'm Mr. Elite. You don't want to call me Elite? And again, that E-word's thrown around too much. We're not even going to use that in this episode or any episode about that because he is Joe Flacco. He just outdueled not only Peyton Manning but Tom Brady back-to-back weeks on the road in the playoffs. If you don't start respecting this guy, what's it going to take? And I'm tired of the haters out there. We're never going to Super Bowl with Flacco. I can't wait to hear Lamar Woodley sound off after Flacco wins because I'm telling you, he's a winner right now. He's earning it. How about 8 touchdowns, 0 picks, 114 quarterback rating in the playoffs? And these so-called elite quarterbacks, they're nowhere to be found. Where's Breeze? Where's Rodgers? Where's Peyton? Where's Brady? Where are they? I don't know, but I'm trying to look for them, and it's the Super Bowl, and the quarterbacks are standing with Colin Kaepernick and Joe Flacco. And I'm going to take Joe Flacco 100 times out of 100. He's been playing out of his mind, man.
He really, he's been on his game. We've had a lot of changes this season offensively, and I got to say, I think one of the biggest things, adding Bryant McKinney into the offensive line, having him actually be a big part of this.
By far the MVP right there.
Absolutely, and it's giving Joe time to set up plays and work plays, and he's the one that went into the locker room at halftime, I've heard, and Flacco said, you know, let me do what I got to do out there, and let me just take the ball, let me do what I want to do. And he's taking charge of this offense, and he's running with the ball, literally and figuratively. He's running with the ball, and it's working out for the Ravens, and this guy is the real deal.
Well, I'll put a question to you, going back to that. Just think about, what if McKinney actually played the full year? Well, isn't that a great question to get answered right there?
Yeah, you know, who knows what could have happened? You know,
right.
Cam Cameron might still be employed if Bryant McKinney didn't play the whole year.
Oh, yeah, who knows? I mean, but speaking of Cameron, he actually came on the record today and said that it was a brilliant move, and it caused everybody to look themselves in the mirror, and he said he's a race, he's supporting the team, and what a class act, Cameron. I mean, I know the city crucified the guy for the last 2+ years and won it out, and rightfully so, but look what, just look at the difference. You know, you credit the offensive line, credit Flacco. You could, and look, we've already, Harbaugh's already dubbed Caldwell as offensive coordinator next year. He's done that great of a job in less than a month. And, I mean, he picks up the team. And we all knew going to the Broncos game back in week 15 that he was picking up King Cameron's offense and had to run with it with less than a week. But look what happens. Joe Flacco really, I mean, I wouldn't say he got let go in the second half, but it was just like, we went to a pass-heavy, more attack. Ray Rice was still part of the game. And how about Bernard Pierce coming up with some key third-down runs? All around, every team player played their role. You know, Ray Rice played his play. He still got a touchdown. That was a great run on the goal line where he just got a nasty stiff arm and took it wide left and just used to stretch the field, and he used every part of that field to get the touchdown instead of just running straight up. Bernard Pierce made some people miss. It's just a good 1-2 combination of that finesse and power runner, which we lacked, and we had those back when McGahee backed up Ray Rice. It was just a great compliment to see that, and then we had the three-headed monster with McLean as well in there. And just all around, and Anquan Boldin putting the receiving corners on his back and just saying, you know what, I got you. And right now, Boldin is a true Raven. I don't even think of him as a Cardinal. It's like Mason. You know, he comes on, and it's just, I love some Boldin right now. I love me some Anquan Boldin. It's great. And I'm going to tell you right now, going back to this play, how about, Brandon, how about Dennis Pitta getting rocked and then coming back next play and catching a touchdown? How about that, the stuffing in his face?
Oh, my God. I couldn't get over that. That was another hit where you just kind of went, ooh, when you saw that hit.
Yeah, and then again, we were looking for the flags on that one. I was, because when the one we played showed it, he got jammed right in the face mask.
Absolutely got hit right there, but he got right back up, and then he got a touchdown saying, you want to take me down like that? No big deal. I'll still get a touchdown.
It was great.
Pitt is a great talent. I'm so happy he's a Raven, and he showed his what he can do on the field. Taking a hit like that, getting right back up, and doing what he needs to do on the next play.
Telling you what, man, it's something special with this offense just in the last month. You know, who would have thought that? And here's the thing, and it's funny. I even joke with my friends. I didn't say it. I didn't write it. I'm going to credit Ravens.com on this one, who wrote the article, or whoever did. But how about Joe Flacco and the other Joe? Joe Montana in the same breath mentioned, believe it or not. That's some pretty good company right there, wouldn't you say? And given the fact that we're facing Montana's former team.
That's pretty amazing. That's a little bit of karma right there. You know, it's not even ironic. You can't even say ironic at that point. But
it's special. The reason why it was mentioned, I don't know if anybody knows this, well, Flacco's somewhat going for a record here. In the postseason, I think it was in the 1980s. Don't quote me. I think it was 1989 or something like that. I was born in 86. I'm showing my age here, but I never got to see my Joe Montana play. I'm actually looking at a football signed by him right now, next to an injury helmet of mine. I got the chance to meet Joe Montana, but that's another story. But it was great. But Joe Flacco right now has 8 touchdowns in the postseason, no picks. And Joe Montana has the most postseason touchdowns in the same postseason without an interception, which is 11. So, not to get ahead of ourselves here, guys, but Joe Flacco has a 4-touchdown, 0-interception game in the Super Bowl. Not only will he probably be Super Bowl MVP, which is even, I can't fathom that right now. Don't get, I'm going to fall over, but it's just incredible to think about. But if he has that kind of game, he would have that record and own that. So that, now who's the lead? It's like almost looking like, okay, if he, now I know the 4-touchdown, 0-pick it performance in the biggest game is kind of suspect given that the defense are playing against, anything can happen. But just alone, if they win the game, how about he owns a 9th playoff victory tied with Peyton Manning, who he beat 2 weeks prior, or 3 weeks prior, I should say, with the gap in between the games here. And it's just come to think that right now, Flacco, Harbaugh, and the team since 2008 own an 8-4 playoff record. Flacco has the most playoff wins by starting quarterback with 6 road playoff wins. It's just, you just think about it, everything's just transpired. It's surreal. We just won the AFC title game back-to-back weeks. And now how about this for another twist? I can go on and on, Brandon. You can see I'm fired up. Who wouldn't be fired at this point, Raven Nation?
Oh, yeah.
Now I can hear a resounding amen on that one. But how about, I don't know if this is the first. I have to research this in the Super Bowl era or anything. But how about, how on a twist of things, in the final NFL Final Four in the conference championships, 3 out of the team 14 has made it back. Obviously, the Giants were subbed in by the Falcons. And how about the same 2 losers last year actually went on to the Super Bowl this year? It was kind of like redemption for both teams, wouldn't you say?
A little bit, yeah. You know, looking at those games last year, it was heartbreaking for both towns, but each town had something to prove. Each team had something to prove, and it's got to be that Harbaugh blood going through both of these teams, because it seems like you can't keep those guys down, and it's going to be very interesting coming up in the Super Bowl, having the brothers go against each other. But we'll talk about that a little bit down the road, but the Harbaughs really, they're the coaches, and they kind of take the bull by the horns here, and we can see how important this game is. Look at the 49ers coach and see how animated he is on the field, especially at the NFC championship game. You saw him kind of spazzing out a little bit, and our Harbaugh, of course, he's not shy of showing his emotions on the sidelines either. So I think both towns, San Francisco, Baltimore, we both feel that kind of passion running through the coaches and running through the team, and it's just infectious going through the entire town and the teams.
Infectious indeed, and it's like success all around. I remember I just never forget when Bisciotti interviewed, and he knew that was his head coach, and just looking at how we've come a long way, and in the years since 2008. We've never tasted of the off season. We've always been in the postseason. We've always won a playoff game. We've had that joy as fans, as people who embrace the team as their own and are ingrained in this, in Ravens Nation all over the country, from here all the way to the West Coast. And it's just amazing to see that success, and that we're a first-class organization that, yeah, we might not have the 3 Super Bowl championships in a decade. Like, the Patriots had a great run, 3 out of 4 Super Bowls, but you know what? It's something special that the Ravens are going to their 2nd Super Bowl in their franchise history, and they've only been here since 1996. Ray Lewis is a 17-year NFL veteran. He's going to his 2nd Super Bowl in 17 years, and just come to think of that, it's amazing how we've been counting 2000, it was 4 AFC title games. We're 2-2 in said AFC title games. We're going to our 2nd Super Bowl. We win it. We're undefeated in our Super Bowls. It's just to think about the success this team had and what they've overcome this year. And speaking of overcoming, how fitting is this? I don't know about you, Brandon. I want to ask your reactions here. And I'd like to know fans' reactions. If they ever want to tweet us or give us a text or call us, I would love that to happen, because there's something special happened after the Ravens were victorious here for our city and for our state, for Ravens Nation in general. Did you get a chance to watch the trophy presentation at all in full?
I didn't get to watch the full thing. I've seen highlights from it, so tell me a little bit about this.
Well, it was this what it's all about for Ravens Nation, and I'm not ashamed to say this, because, hey, it was a special moment. I mean, I teared up and welled up during Ray's last dance, especially when he ended the game in midfield in the Colts game. And what happened was this: they went to the church for presentation, and the place got quiet. Actually, we're still celebrating. And it came to for the Lamar Hunt presentation. They had everybody stand on the podium. Well, first, Ed Reed hands a game ball to none other than, and I might get choked up saying this, because this was just an awesome moment. O.J. Bergantz gets a football, and if I don't know O.J. Bergantz, obviously he's dealing with the Lou Gehrig's disease, and he was a very integral part. He actually has a ring with the Ravens in 2000, believe it or not. He wore number 57, and you can research this. This is 100% accurate. He had made the opening tackle in the Super Bowl in 2000. They take it off to the Giants, and O.J. Bergantz made that opening team tackle, and I'll never forget that. And he said some words of wisdom with the team, and he said that he was proud of the team, and God's doing something special with this team, and there just wasn't a dry eye in the place. And then when they went to Shoddy and Harbs, then Ray spoke, and Suggs and Flacco, Ray Rice and Reed were all up there, and it was just something special seeing with Ray wearing his cut-off shirt of the Psalms 91, but then he put Art Modell on there, and Art Modell's, you know, portrait, and it's just, this is what it's all about. And Ray echoed those words, Brandon, where, you know, the weapon can prosper against this team, it seems like, because it seems like the whole world bets against us, hey, we're 9.8 underdogs again, you know what, we just beat them by 15. It's like what Suggs said, you want to hate us, you want to doubt us, keep picking against us, because this team is showing every reason why you need to come to reverse and believe in yourself. And win or lose the Super Bowl, I'm utterly proud of this team and what they've done and covering them and getting the chance to talk and put our opinions out there and being the fan and getting involved. And it's just amazing to hear what happened. And I'll never forget that. We were all in tears. We looked around and we were all holding each other, you know, shoulder to shoulder. And we were, you know, indefinitely watching the perfect presentation, getting excited, but that's what it's about. It's about coming together as a city as one and enjoying this, because these moments don't come around often. You know, I was 14 years old last time they won the Super Bowl. I didn't get intense like I am now. I didn't get all dressed up. I didn't cover the team. I didn't know everything about them. This was in its infancy. I mean, we were in our fourth year, and it was something special. Now knowing what is now, and how about everything else? Just leading up to the game, beating Tom Brady, beating those ghosts, showing that we can go in there and win, and Ray Lewis can cap off an incredible ride, a 17-year career. His last game as a Raven is going to be on the biggest stage of them all, Super Bowl 47. I couldn't be more proud of it right now. I'm more excited for this city. And it's just the way the game was on Sunday, it's just, we were losing, we came back, we took the lead, and we were just like, we took them by the throat and said, enough's enough, we got you. And they were laying some wood, they owned it, and they owned the night. And we're AFC Championships, baby. I love it.
AFC Championships, you know, I saw so many people passing around the trophy, and it's an amazing feeling having Baltimore united, and that's all anybody wants to talk about right now. Over the weekend, I went down to Baltimore City, the Inner Harbor, and I went around because I wanted to take pictures of all of the buildings kind of dressed up in purple. It's been an amazing look for this entire city. Everybody's wearing purple. Everybody sees purple on all the buildings. There's a Ray Lewis light show on the Marriott in Harbor East. Domino Sugar, which is a staple here in Baltimore, they have two Raven logos on the side of their buildings. Under Armour's
logo. Even the Natty Bow guy was lit up purple too on Brewer's Show, actually.
Absolutely, that, like, there's purple everywhere. So I love the fact that this team is doing this for the city. And there's not. I personally don't think that there's a lot of fair weather fans in Baltimore. Of course, there are. You know, there are some. They're everywhere. But I don't think that there's a lot of bandwagon fans. I think there's a lot of passionate fans, and I think the team knows that. And I think the team feels that passion every week that they're at M&T Bank Stadium. So I'm so happy to have a Super Bowl, and I'm so happy that the fans are enjoying it. I mean, Ray Lewis has meant so much to this team, and for him to walk away and say, this is my time, I'm going to retire after the season, and then to go to the Super Bowl after that announcement. I mean, it's the best way for him to say goodbye, because he deserves to say goodbye on the biggest stage. He's an amazing football player. He's done so much for this city. He's an intricate part to this city. We've talked about that before. So it's really, it's an amazing story, an amazing ride throughout this season. And just like the players, the city is loving this. Everybody's planning Super Bowl parties now. I mean, my mom's company, the funniest thing is there's this place up in Owings Mills, Courtney's Bagels. They make purple bagels. My mom's company bought 75 of those bagels last Purple Friday to get ready for this game. So it's an amazing feeling. And like you said, we do have like Art Modell – looking down and, you know, he's smiling and he's enjoying this ride. And I think that all those guys know that he's kind of looking down. My favorite line, if you remember, we played a song a couple weeks ago by Free State Workshop, the Ravens Nation 2013. And there's that line in there that says, "Art rests on our shoulders." And the video zooms into the art patch that's on everybody's jerseys. And he's always been an intricate part of the Ravens. If it wasn't for him, there wouldn't be a Raven right. organization here in Baltimore. So for us to go to the Super Bowl this year, when Ray is deciding to call it quits on his football career after 17 years, when Art Modell passes away, when there's so much going on in this city and with this team, to go to the Super Bowl now, it's almost, you think it's a movie because it just seems too perfect, because there's been fighting, you know, that we've had games, we've lost games at home, and the team has gone through losing streaks this year where people were saying, I'm not buying tickets to games anymore, this, that, whatever. And now they're in the Super Bowl. Just an amazing story this season. No one could have written it better. And I think that this game that's coming up in just, you know, like a week and a half, it's going to be the biggest game in Ravens history. And it's just an amazing story for Flacco, Ray Lewis, everyone involved. And I know they're training hard and they're getting ready for this game. And it's going to be an amazing feeling in a few weeks.
I can't describe what we're feeling, especially after the team won the AFC title game, and we're rejoicing. And just like, I literally sat there and I was just like, did we just go to the Super Bowl? And I just couldn't believe it. I'm sitting there watching the post game celebrations, and then it was surreal. It was just like, we did it. And it's just the pandemonium in that place. I mean, you were there for the divisional game. You just imagine how it went when the AFC title game, when Kerry Williams intercepted that ball and we could finally breathe a sigh of relief. Because you're right, when Bolden caught that second touchdown, I said, we got work to do. I got excited, but then I was just like, they're the Patriots. There's 11 minutes left. They can quick strike. I mean, the Falcons came back on the Seahawks in three plays in less than 40 seconds. I mean, and then what happened? Almost it was right on my words, because Wes Walker broke open for a 40-yard pass, and it's just, here they go again. But the defense stepped up, and we tipped the ball, an interception, tip drill, and we had sufficient. These are the game balls, and yeah, obviously it's unanimous. The whole team's going to get a game ball for the ride we're taking here, and we're going to New Orleans because of it. But we're going to pick out some individual game players here. And first off is we're going to say the new general here, as Ray dubbed him, is number five, Joe Flacco. What a performance, man. Another three-touchdown performance in the playoffs 3 weeks or 2 weeks in a row, I should say. And he's taking this offense on his back. He's just saying enough's enough, and he's like, you know what, you want to doubt me? You want to think I can't play with the best of them? Well, his paycheck's going up and up and up, and regardless, Joe Flacco's going to get paid big time, because he's earning it out there. Joe Flacco gets game ball. And obviously, Q on the offensive line, wow, he just took the game over. There's two touchdowns. He just said, I got you. And like he said, the confidence. He went and asked, are we going to win? You know, why is it different this time? He goes, because we're going to win. He just said, we'll win, plainly. And they believe in that confidence, and he knew. And they were the better team last year, and they were the better team this year in AFC, and he knew it. And we're AFC championship, standing alone, the representative in the Super Bowl, and it's just surreal to believe, man. And now, how's your game balls looking, man?
I totally agree with you. Joe Flacco on offense, I think that he deserves one. The whole team, just they deserve a game ball, because this has been just such an amazing ride. This is a full game. That's what it feels like. It's a full game. Everybody has played perfectly in this last game. There were one or two little mistakes, but that's it. I mean, nothing too crazy. This team deserves to be in the Super Bowl, but Joe, definitely, I think he's the standout here. Defensively, I think, you know, Ray Lewis, he had a great game. There's no bad seeds on the defense. I think I might have to give Terrell Suggs a game ball, just for the fact that he's coming out of halftime and he's telling all the reporters in New England that I hope you guys enjoy the Pro Bowl. I hope you enjoy the Pro Bowl, you know, as he's walking to the field. So just that confidence and that swagger that he had, I got to give him a game ball just for that. And being able to back it up, even that's even more important. It's one thing to have swagger. It's a whole other thing to actually, you know, do something with it. So I think I'd have to give him a game ball for the defense.
That's right. We did have swagger. And it's just, I agree. You know, it's one thing to talk trash pregame, middle game, but postgame, you're soft in bed, and you just say, ah, ha, ha, ha. You doubt us now, look at us now. It's just, it's great. And a lot of people took it out of context, saying Suggs should have said that because he's a champion. But you know what? I back Suggs up, because how about all the fans being frustrated? No one picks us, and everybody is, oh, you can't go up there and beat Brady, and you all suck, and this is that. And how about we just lead it to him? So I kind of agree with that. You might call it arrogant. I back the swagger of our team, because you know what? I was doing it too. I was doing it to the Flacco haters. Or, hey, you don't think he's good enough now? Look at him. He's going to be in the Super Bowl. And he's outplayed everybody, even the elite quarterbacks. What you got to say about that? No one's even answering me back, because they don't have nothing, because they can't back it up. So you're right. I'm going to agree with you on that game ball, bro.
Well, that's good to know. It's good to know. Yeah, so this was an amazing game. Absolutely amazing. One thing we didn't touch on that everyone's talking about is...
Oh, you forgot a game ball, man.
Oh, what's that?
You got to give it to the general, man.
Well, yeah, 40, of course.
He had another 14, 44, not even that. I'm getting mixed with my numbers. He had another double-digit performance in tackles. He's got 44 tackles in 3 playoff games, bro. He is leading by example and showing that he's going out on top. Ray Lewis gets game ball, my friend.
That he absolutely deserves one. He, of course, it's Ray Lewis. I mean, how do you leave him out of that? I mean, come on. Amazing stuff. The one thing we didn't touch on for this game that everybody's talking about, it's kind of old news now, but the slide that Tom Brady had, lifting his foot
up and
kicking Ed Reed. Every quarterback knows not to slide like that and put your cleats up. Brady is getting fined $10,000, but I don't know if you saw this. The NFL Network played the replay of the game last night, and I watched that, and they had Ed Reed mic'd up. I didn't know that Tom Brady went up to Ed Reed, I think it was during a commercial break, after that play, and apologized to him on the field. There's a lot of talk going around that Brady like texted him and said, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to do that. But he was on the field with Ed Reed going, sorry, I didn't mean to do that. It was completely my fault. I apologize. So I got to give it to Brady for that, for going up to him even on the field before the game was over and apologizing for it. Still think he should have been fined because it was dirty. That was definitely a dirty play. But I like the fact that he apologized before the game was even over.
And again, Brandon, you're right. It shows what class they have. Yes, we hate them because they're the Tom Brady and Peyton Manning in the league, and they always beat us, and they're always in the Super Bowls, and they're always got the success and got the records and everything else. But here's the thing. There was two classy gestures by the two losing quarterbacks we just beat. Peyton Manning going down in the locker room and waiting for Ray Lewis to meet him and wish him well. And it just shows the competitiveness. Like last year, at the end of the AFC title game, there's even on the football, like Ray Lewis, it was shown. You know, Tom Brady went to Ray Lewis and said, you're the best, you know that, man? Even, you know, the Patriots just beat us to go to the Super Bowl, and Tom Brady's telling Ray he's the best. It's just the competitive nature, and they all know that they're going to Hall of Fame, and they're going to have Buston Cant one day, and it's a mutual respect, and how about that? I mean, Brady's a competitor, and we always get on for, you know, baby Brady and always crying. You know, yeah, that's one of his fatal flaws, because he does, you know, come on, get hit. Like, I mean, he didn't really do that much that game. I didn't see but maybe one. But he gets fired up. I mean, it's the same thing when we didn't get calls. I mean, look at Flacco. Flacco was whining for a flag when Pitta got drilled. But he just said, you see, he read his words. He was like, come on, man. Like, he was, you know, Joe. He'd just be like that. And Pollard had it off before the fines were handed out. If you heard that, he'd say it. If you heard Pollard say this, I don't know if you heard it, where Pollard was like, you know, if Ed Reed wouldn't be able to pull up, Ed Reed would have been fined and suspended. But no, when Brady slides his leg in the air, you don't do nothing about it. Well, they did. But it's just more so than not that you're right. There is both sides of the coin. Like, I was fired up after Pinta got his touchdown. I couldn't celebrate 5 minutes because I kept saying, where's the flag on that helmet? Hey, look, like you got drilled. But no, but and then Ed Reed was down on a fair catch and got drilled in the helmet, didn't say anything. And then here's the thing. Pollard knocked the crap out of the Stephen Ridley helmet to helmet, and they probably didn't catch that one. But things happen. But my thing was be consistent, and I think the NFL got this one right with the consistency and finding him and showing that, yeah, can't show intent with throwing your cleats in the air and attacker coming at you, because you can really seriously hurt somebody with those. And it was kind of funny. This has been a joke this week, Brandon. Speaking of fines, did you hear that Frank Gore got fined $10,500 for his socks being too low? What's this about?
Really?
Yeah. And it was kind of funny. The talk a week was how NFL is a sham and hypocritical, how they say player safety, but they're going to fine an NFL player not only the same amount, but $500 more for your wardrobe malfunction. You know, speaking of Janet Jackson there, but, you know, wardrobe malfunction here in the NFL, but then Tom Brady throws his leg in the air and he gets $10,000, $500. It's kind of funny how the NFL is just they're just picking and choosing where they can and being really weird with stuff. But you know what? Who cares about that? Because at the end of the day, we're having fun with Ravens Nation because we're taking the party to the Big Easy. And it's kind of bittersweet. I am kind of upset that, you know, I can't really go down and we can't really cover it down there. I would love to see the Swarm of Purple and Black all over Bourbon Street and see the parties. And I hear about all the 90 Rock on locations and all the older local media on locations, and they're taking road trips and caravans and people going down there. I mean, I wish I can be part of that atmosphere one day. And, you know, I wish that one day I can actually experience that when we get back to Super Bowl one day, and I can actually do it and see it and believe it and experience it. But it's just going to be an incredible ride. Obviously, we'll preview the actual Super Bowl game next week. We're going to hip it up for Super Bowl week. It's going to be a good purple week all week next week. Purple, instead of Purple Friday, it's going to be purple every day starting this Friday. But it's just incredible to see everything come together and go for a second Super Bowl title. And believe it or not, you might think this is really funny, but there's always a joke on me. But I have a picture personalized. I actually got to touch the real original first trophy we have. It's one of my favorite moments in my life. And there's a picture of it sits on my nightstand every morning. And I wake up to that, and there's a sign on it that says, "Play like a Raven." And that picture is signed by Ray Lewis and Brian Billick, and it says "To Josh" on it. And it's motivation. You might think it's funny, but it just shows you how part of the city and part of how much the team means to the city and the fans that we think of as one. I mean, you know, we're one with the team. And I wake up every day and I look at that trophy, and I'm like, man, I want the city to have another one. And I don't even play for the team, but it's just, we get so ingrained in it. This is what we do, and here we are. We get a chance to go for another one, and I'm telling you what, man, yeah. If I don't get the vacation day, I will be at that parade because I'll cough sick because I will be on Pratt Street.
Oh yeah, you know, I do think you have a cough coming on. You know, it might come on in a couple weeks or so. But doesn't your throat feel a little scratchy right now?
A little bit.
Just a little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
I've already taken that day off from work. Now I've put my request in already.
Yeah, I've already emailed and said, "Is there a day available? If not," and I already told my coworkers, "I'm like, yeah, you won't see me because I'm going to be downtown." And speaking of that, actually, the Ravens, believe it or not, they're having send-off rallies for the team. The team, I think, I don't know when the team actually leaves, because I know a lot of fans were trying to get the rally to the airport to see the team in, but you weren't allowed to, and I don't know about the facility. But apparently on Monday morning at downtown around 11:30 at the Inner Harbor, they're actually having a send-off party for the Ravens. I'm actually looking now to see if the team's leaving Monday or Sunday, but I've heard reports that the team actually leaves Sunday because Monday's the actual day of arrival, because Tuesday's actual the infamous Super Bowl media day on Tuesday. But I'm actually looking at that. But if you want to feel like your throat's scratchy coming Monday, you want to see Purple Fever on. Right here. I'm reading off of, again, this is Ravens.com fans. It says 11:30 a.m. The rally will officially begin. To a welcome from Jerry Sandusky, the voice of the Ravens. Members of the 2000 Super Bowl team will be in attendance. Current Ravens players and coaches, including Harbaugh and Ray Lewis, are scheduled to arrive at the rally at 12:15 p.m. So how about that, fans? And, man, it would be great to get down there and get to cover that for our team. And, hey, I would like to try to see if I can get down there. Not make any promises because Monday's, you know, obviously a work day for us, but I might be calling out.
Yeah, you might actually have a little. I wonder if you can actually put down a Purple Fever as your reason for not coming in. That could be, you know.
I think we could do that. I mean, I know it's a symptom. You know, I've had it once or twice before, you know, coming on strong a little bit. But
absolutely.
I think we all got Purple Fever this year. This is an incredible ride. And, man, Brandon, but again, there's fans out there, 11:30, they're having a rally. It says Baltimore's Inner Harbor Amphitheater located at Pratt and Lake Streets. And, we're excited to see the champions off, AFC North champions, AFC champions, and hopefully it's resounding Super Bowl champions, Super Bowl 47 champions, and man, wouldn't that be sweet.
That sounds pretty good to me.
It sounds great, but we'll get to cover that next week. We have all the latest news and the matchups for Super Bowl 47, and we are playing the San Francisco 49ers, the Horrible, the Harbaugh Bowl, Burrow Bowl, whatever you want to call it, Bowl. It's going to be the Super Bowl. But, hey, we're calling it Ravens Bowl because we're taking over this town.
Absolutely. So have we covered everything?
If not, I'm telling you, Ed Reed's going to get one because Ed Reed's got it this time.
All right, very cool, man. Now, if you want to follow along during the Super Bowl or during the Pro Bowl or want any kind of Ravens information, make sure you follow me at Brando Cash on Twitter. And Josh, he's on Twitter, too. He's always talking about something Ravens. So where can people follow you on Twitter?
They can follow me on Twitter at ItalianGQ52.
Very cool. And if you're on Facebook, make sure you go over to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. That's where you get all the information you want about the call and all the other shows we have on the Brando Cash Network. Even a show, What the Puck, since hockey's back. We're talking Capitals and all that kind of good stuff.
Rock the Red.
Exactly. So if you're a hockey fan, check out that podcast. But no matter how you're listening to us right now, big news here just this week. The call and What the Puck are officially on Stitcher Radio. Pretty cool news right there. If you're an Android user, if you don't have an iPhone, you have Android, anything like that, or even if you do have an iPhone, just download the Stitcher app and sign in, and then you can search for the call, and you can make it one of your stations, and that way you're streaming our content right there. We're still on iTunes, so if you want to check that out, you can go search the call, go to podcast, and click subscribe. That way, whenever a new episode comes out, it'll get downloaded automatically straight into your iTunes, or get the podcast app on your iPhone, and it'll get downloaded automatically to your phone as well. You can listen to us on Podbean, and we're on WSR, Stevenson University Radio. So there's so many ways to listen to the show. Doesn't matter how you listen, as long as you're listening, thank you so much. Biggest thing you can do to help us, though, is tell people about the show. Make sure you go into Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Tumblr, tout it. Everything you guys are doing, let people know about the call. Let people know you're a Ravens fan and that you dig the call and that they should listen too. Write us an iTunes review. Anything you can do will help us out and grow a little bit more, a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger. Now, Josh, before you send us off like you always do, we're ending the show a little bit differently this week. We got contacted this weekend by a group named Nick and Blue, and they have a song called Nevermore, and they wanted to know if we could play this on our show. So we're going to end the show with their song Nevermore. It's a Baltimore Ravens anthem, and if you dig the song and you want to download it, it's easy. It's free. Go to soundcloud.com/nickelbagofunk, and that will take you to Nick and Blue Nevermore Baltimore Ravens anthem, and you can download the song right there. It's a great song. I've listened to it all week, and I'm so happy to have him on the show. But Josh, here we go. Next week, we're going to have our big Super Bowl show, so send us out the way you always do.
Like the song probably says, or if not, but we're going to quote the Raven Nevermore, because we're going to try to go home and bring over Super Bowl championships to this good old Charm City Ravens Nation AFC champions. Let's go Baltimore Ravens. Fly high on this bye week, but we're going to cover Super Bowl week next week. See you then.
Be more stand up. Y'all know what time is it?
Game time!
Let's do this! As the squad rolls out of the tunnel, the crowd roars, best to move about the way like automatic sliding doors. Turn up the volume until it's shaking the floor, while opposition's lost in volumes of forgotten lore. Some struggle to survive, we strive to be more and be more. We known for bringing in hardcore from the power plant, where we send shockwaves forth. They feel it all the way on the eastern shore. Now invite all your family and friends to grab plates, cause we cook the competition and serve them like crab cakes. We too hot to trot, too cold to hold, when we running through the line like the B&O Railroad. Paths we blazing, roads we paving, stop, pay the toll and respect the Raven. This town brought your own say, can you see? Now it's a new anthem in a place to be.
Nevermore.
We're a full nation ready for war, with no need to worry cause we winning for sure.
Nevermore.
As we kicking the door and be more, we know for bringing in hardcore.
Nevermore.
Opponents complaining cause they sore. First we run them off the field, then we run up the score.
Nevermore.
Y'all ain't never seen anything like this before, and plus we got more in store. Throw them hands in the air, now we taking you higher. Raven fans light it up, here we on fire. Trump City where it always comes down to the wire, and legends still inspire after they don't retire. Can't lose like Lewis, Walker or Ray. Now we on some Ray Parker busting fools all day. Like their last name was Puffed and the first was Stay. They don't stand a ghost of a chance when we play. From 395 exit MLK, we the kings of the east, slaying the beast. It's the black and the violet, leaving teams deceased. Moment of silence, rest in peace. Please, we heavyweights, heavily favored. Got purple in the veins like blood was grape flavored. Coming with the wrath, so make a path for these ghastly, grim, ominous birds of yore.
Nevermore.
We in formation, ready for war, with no need to worry, cause we winning for sure.
Nevermore.
As we kicking the door, and be more, we known for bringing in hardcore.
Nevermore.
Opponents complaining cause they sore. First we run them off the field, then we run up the score.
Nevermore.
Y'all ain't never seen anything like this before. And plus, we got more in store. I start rapping to the sound of someone faintly tapping, and suddenly it turns to a million hands clapping. When you mess with the best, it ain't never no telling what gon' happen. I suggest you don't get caught napping, cause we got a quarterback never taking no flack, while other quarterbacks are not gonna not get sacked. With that, a defense that other cats can't read.
Guaranteed to bring it to your face indeed.
Steady steam rolling, running plays that embolden. We reach the goal when we Lombardi trophy holding. Go for gold deep in the heart of Maryland. Striking fear in the hearts like a scary man with hairy hands. In a van at the end of the block. Now the hands on the clock, say it's high time to rock. So when you see the flock spread their wings to soar, you should probably get lost like that girl Lenore.
Nevermore.
We in formation ready for war, with no need to worry cause we win it for sure.
Nevermore.
As we kick in the door, and be more, we know for bringing it hardcore.
Nevermore.
The opponents complaining cause they sore. First we run them off the field, then we run up the score.
Nevermore.
Y'all ain't never seen anything like this before. And plus, we got a whole lot more.
Nevermore.
Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about a touch of football can't get knocked out tonight.
Nevermore.
Yeah, we gon' take this division and the whole AFC. Super Bowl, baby!
This has been a production of the At Brand.